Welcome back to the Green Zone post-game show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson here on a Saturday night. The final regular season games were played today. Winnipeg with a win over the Montreal Alouettes, which meant this game was very meaningful for the BC Lions. Coming in a loss, and they would have had to travel to Montreal. A tie, they would have traveled to Calgary. A win in BC, which they did, 27-21. The Lions will be hosting the Calgary Stampeders. They finish 11-7. Both the Stampeders and the BC Lions finished 11-7. But BC had the tiebreaker with wins over the Calgary Stampeders. But for the first time, we're going to head to Mosaic Stadium and hear from the head coach.
When you make that many changes in a game and to see the fight that your guys had, what kind of feeling does that give you over the course of the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think last 2 weeks, the way our team went out there and scrapped, proud of that. They know we know each other. You know, we want to win, man. That sucks. But I know for sure, no matter what, this team will scrap. And that's truthfully, I think, some of the DNA that you're going to have going into these playoffs. So certainly solidified what I figured that I knew about this team, that they're going to go and scrap till the end.
I saw Trevor running over to you after the first three or four series, checking to see how much more playing time he could get. What did you see out of him, and were you satisfied when he gave him the hook finally?
Yeah, no, I was really happy the way he played. I thought he was super decisive with the ball. Yeah, he made that run. I think jumped out of Levi Bell, tried to shoelace tackle him, and I was just screaming, "Get down!" And then he gave the T-Mobile, and I said, "Well, you called." I answered, and it said, "Pull you." So he got him out of there, but was super happy with his performance, man. And he looked like he was having fun, and you want that.
I'm not trying to put you in a position, but what did you think about some of the or did you take issue with some of the stuff in the replay center tonight?
Sorry, one more time?
It looked like two calls from the replay center. Did you have a momentum of the game?
Well, listen, certainly there's going to be times when – those calls will fall our way, and I'm gonna be happy as shit. Tonight they just didn't fall our way, and by the rule, the whistle was blown, and we were awarded the ball. Obviously we'd like the points, but at that point there's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing anything we can do about it except for we got the ball, kept them out of the end zone. It's our turn to go play offense, so it is what it is. I just hope the football gods will bless us, and we'll take it for sure.
And what's the next two? What are the next 2 weeks going to look like?
These guys are going to have a couple days off, 2-3 days here, and we're going back to work.
Britton. Corey, what do you take away from this game to kind of build on for this next week of preparation in the West Final?
Just kind of what we talked about. These guys are they're down to fight. You know what I mean? So. I don't like subscribing to these games aren't meaningful to teams. There was some really, really important football that we played these last 2 weeks for us. And I think it's going to bode well for us moving forward. So there's lots of stuff to, off of the tape and to potential these last 2 weeks of opponents that at some point in the playoffs you may see too, right? So, important reps for us to look at as coaches and as players. But at this time, it's just, hey, however it shakes out, we got a ton of really good football players in our locker room who I believe have the skill set to get it done, play winning football.
Thoughts on Michael Hughes in his first CFL game?
Yeah.
Made those kicks.
Yeah, no, I think too, they ended up taking that, the penalty after the PAT, and we moved the ball up and, Kent, hey, drive that joker, and he drove it for the single. Was awesome to see. And then, just being able to get him out there, I don't know off the top of my head the long, but nothing pushing 55 plus or anything like that. You guys know me. So it was good for him to settle in and be able to help the team. But, yeah, man, he's been showing that throughout the weeks of practice too. So happy for the kid.
Yeah, just when you take stock of the last 5 months of this, from where your football team was at training camp to where you guys are now, I guess, what are you most proud of specifically heading into the playoffs?
Just the trust, I think. Not necessarily from what we're saying as a staff and coaches to the players, but just the trust amongst everybody in the building. You know, this is we've gotten to this point, and those guys have earned the right to sit where we sit, to be able to host the West Final. But certainly, you know, we know how much work is ahead of us, and they're excited about that. And that I'm excited about that. So, yeah, man, just proud of the way that we trusted and leaned on each other to this point.
Was there a particular moment in the season where you recognized we could be the number one seed, like, and, you know, you will be, have a chance to host the West Final at least?
Yeah, well, you're going to hate asking me that because in my mind it's every year, you know what I mean? First thing at training camp is just, you know, even in the off season you think okay, hey, you know, you make it to the West Final, and we're able to retain a lot of really good, you know, players, and have the continuity on the roster to hopefully year two in the system is going to be better, right? So, you know, shoot, last year we took the job, it was the same thought process. Like, I think as competitors, it's not just me, it's everybody, man. Everybody thinks that, you know, at the beginning of the season, it's your shot. So, that's the truth.
Have you known for a while that you're playing November 8th for the Grey Cup berth at stake? How nice is it to be able to singularly focus on that now without a couple of weeks of who do we play, who do we rest, how do we handle these situations?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a plus for sure. But, you know, now we have a little bit of idea of who our opponent is going to be that for that game on the 8th. You know, a lot of work's going to go into that too. So, you know, we could just, as a staff, kind of lock in on that. And, you know, when these guys come back into the building, have a plan of attack for that. You'd rather this be the situation than, you know, not having to go into the office and work at this time of year. So everybody's excited, man.
There is the head coach, Corey Mace. I'm glad he blamed the football gods for the command center.
Oh, it is a God center.
It was the God center, but yeah. It was the football gods. Maybe.
Oh, he was livid on the sideline.
I haven't seen him that angry in many things.
I hadn't
right?
either, no, Darryl.
Yeah, that was a horrible. There was a couple of horrible calls,
right? And rightfully so, though, because
It cost the Rough Riders deserve to win this football game. They had 14 points that went against them because of bad officiating.
Yeah, it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more than that. Because the field position allowed BC to be way...
Yeah, they got a field goal out of that because they lost field position. That's true, too, right?
Like, that was almost... Those two calls could have been a 17-point swing.
Mm-hmm.
And that means they're crushing them. It's 21-10. Yeah. Like, it is... Well, they would have... I don't know. They would have kicked the field goal instead of scoring a touchdown anyways down with the Keon Hatcher. Okay, fine. But... now it's 21-13.
Didn't they have to go for a touchdown there? What was the score? 21-19. You're right. Yeah, they would have kicked the field goal. That's true. So BC, rather than go for the Hatcher touchdown that wasn't really a touchdown, you're right. They would have tried the field goal. So maybe the points differential, but they are still two calls that prevented the Rough Riders from winning the football game.
Oh,
two bad officiating calls.
And by the way, maybe this is me being a homer, but I'm reading all these things about the coach of the year candidates across the Canadian Football League, and there is one guy, and it's Corey Mace.
Oh, yeah.
That should be the coach of the year in the Canadian Football League.
Mm-hmm.
There's one close. Guy.
No.
It's not even close.
But Pierce is worthy of consideration.
Yeah, but man.
You're right. Corey Mace is certainly the coach of the year. There's no. Yeah, that's who I voted for. And if I didn't, I should never be allowed to vote again.
If they, I agree. But
I should never be allowed to vote again.
No, no. If you didn't vote for Corey Mace, mm-hmm. but I was like, come on. Sure, Buck Pierce, one win less than Corey, but Corey's last 2 weeks, he'd had this thing baked for a couple of weeks.
But he should have been 13-5. And then you guys both would have been right on your 13-5 predictions.
But, so close. Yeah, 12-6.
That's why you guys should have been mad. It shouldn't have been me getting mad. It's your predictions, you guys, 13-5.
Well, like I said, I wanted Trevor Harris to play to the bitter end tonight,
right? Man, if he had to play that whole game, they're a better football team than the BC Lions. Because BC had to win tonight. So they got everything they had was thrown at the Rough Riders, and the Rough Riders were winning and almost won with backups.
Who would you want to face, BC or the Stamps?
Right now?
No, I'm saying.
If I'm the Rough Riders, who do I want to face? Right now it's BC, right? Because Calgary's beaten these guys twice. Has beaten the Rough Riders twice. And I know that Calgary's not that they're unpredictable. Their quarterback can go all over the map, and they've seemed to be slipping. Mm-hmm. But the Rough Riders have proven that they match up exceptionally well against the BC Lions. And I would, if I had a choice, if I'm the Rough Riders, I want to play Winnipeg first and foremost of all the teams who are in the West playoffs.
Well, that's not an option.
So the next team is not Calgary; it's BC.
Great.
They're 2-1 against BC, 0-2 against the Calgary Stampeders, mm-hmm. and they just about beat the BC Lions with a lot of backups in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So much depth, man.
BC, bring them back. Yeah, the hottest team in the league. We're all talking
that
about
that defense still isn't that good.
And how hot they are. And they six in a row, they're going into the playoffs in a 6-game winning streak, right? Mm-hmm. And I still think the Rough Riders are a better football team than them and would want to meet them in the playoffs.
Jamie and I, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson. We'll get to Belton Johnson's Beasts and Beefs next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Dye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson here on the Green Zone postgame show. Rookie mistake. Chance, we missed the play of the game.
It might have made you. Or maybe just made you.
Come on!
It's time for the play of the game.
And that is not Chance's fault. That is my fault. And Daryl reminded me, just so you know, we haven't done play of the game yet, Jamie. Don't! Because we talked about it in a commercial break, and we argued over which one's the play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So what did we settle on, Daryl?
And our callers have talked about it, too. We've talked so much about it, it seems like maybe innocuous. No, it's not. It's the touchdown pass to Hatcher late in the game. It's the winning points. The BC Lions are down 21-19. Rourke throws to Hatcher in the end zone. It's called incomplete by an official who's 10 feet away from the play, mm-hmm. rules it an incompletion. Then they say, in comes a God center and looks at it. And I have no idea. Unless they have an underground camera that showed something that we couldn't see, there was no irrefutable evidence that said that was a catch to overrule that call. So they overruled the call anyway, called it a completion. It supplied the winning points mm-hmm. in that game. And I think it screwed the Riders, to be honest. So
yes, it did.
I think that's got to be the play of the game.
There's your play of the game. Daryl's favorite, the God Center, mm-hmm. is the play of the game. To overturn clear and obvious mistakes. That was not clear, nor was it obvious. Now let's get to Belton Johnson's Beasts and Beefs.
From chop blocks and dirty hits to big-time catches and fans in the stands.
That was a good old Southern spanking right there. Mm-hmm. I love every bit of it.
You never know what'll catch Belton's attention. It's Belton's Beasts and Beefs.
Belton Johnson's Beasts, that's the good. The Beefs, that's the bad. Where do you want to begin, Belton?
Let's start with Beasts because I don't have a whole lot there, Jamie.
You don't have a whole lot of good in this? Okay.
No,
Beasts.
I don't.
Let's go ahead. Belton Johnson, what do you got?
All right. Second quarter there. I don't know if y'all remember Schaefer Baker caught a nice pass there going out of bounds. Jumped. I think it was on the – it was on the – not Bombers. It was on the BC line side there. And did y'all see he had a cup of their Gatorade?
Yeah.
Did you see?
My son and daughter both went, why did everybody just cheer? And I was like, didn't you see? He grabbed a cup of Gatorade from the BC sideline. Down the hatch.
I thought he was pretending. I didn't know he had a cup.
No, he took the cup from right there.
All right.
So I enjoyed that one.
I love how much fun Kean Schaefer Baker has playing football.
Even when he's pumping the crowd up and everything, right? But Jamie, I guess my biggest beast would just be LeCombo with that interception and everything, right?
Back after like 2 months off.
Two months away, and you know, I know I've been hard on him some, and some of the fans.
Do you start him at safety, guys?
I was thinking, Jamie, they got a lot of good problems. Coach Mace does. Because I do like C.J. Revis back there, right?
I like Brooks at Sam, right? Yeah.
So they have a lot of good problems coming up here. And the depth of this team, holy cow, fellas.
Well, I'm looking at, like, the guys to put Sales on. You have to put Benny Sapp off, which he's good.
Yep.
If you put Revis back on, you're taking off Lyon. If you put Milligan on, you're taking off Redwine. Of course, Rose comes back, so the young American Bennett Jr. comes off. Who am I missing? If Shane Ray's healthy, maybe that's where you take Brooks Jr. off and put on Revis. Like, you have to have Johnson back. Bain's off. You have to bring Emelis back. Picton's off. You bring Johnson back. Or, sorry, Myers back. Well, that's the American guard, Washington off. Gagnon comes back. Zer comes off. Like,
good
these are good players that aren't going to be playing.
I know.
An American kicker, too.
Right?
Right.
So at least they got a whole week off to figure it out, right?
Might need it.
But that's my beast, LeCombo there.
Nelson LeCombo, as we get to your beefs. Belton, go ahead.
All right, 50 seconds into the game, Rourke throws a 63-yard touchdown. I'm like, what? Second quarter there, Jake Mayer, he's in and throws the interception. Like, because he had just came in for Trevor Harris there, I believe. And I'm not a big fan of
that. That was just after LeCombo's interception.
And I'm not a big fan of Jake Mayer yet. I don't know why, just not just yet. So, Jake Mayer fumbles the snap on that quarterback sneak. He didn't take the ball all the way. I'm pretty sure that was Mayer there on that fumble. So, third quarter, the Riders failed to get the first down when it was on a third and one. I could not believe that. And in the fourth quarter, this is where I think BC had a good advantage on the Riders. They went into like a no huddle, and they were moving the ball at will down the field there in the fourth quarter because Katoy caught that wide open pass down the seam. So that's
a breakdown between Redwine and Sapp. It was right?
You let's go fast, fellas. Mm-hmm. That's when you catch the defense off guard there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna have to my biggest beef. I'm piggybacking off there here. The guard center, Tavon Count. That's my biggest, Jamie.
The whistle,
because in my head, that shouldn't have been blown.
Mm-hmm.
That would have given the Riders, if it had held up, the Riders would have went up 25 to whatever, right?
25 to 10, I think.
So that's my beef, man.
Yeah,
25-13. That's my beef, because I think if they score that, the defense was playing good enough against that BC Lions offense to hold them, I think. That's my beef, the God Center, the ref, all of it, Jamie. That's 2 weeks in a row for me. That's unheard of, man.
Yeah, because that was the turning point of the game. That would have been undoubtedly the play of the game, Jamie. That was such a great play.
Well, and to me, those two things right there, right? Like, they
totally sucked for this team, right?
Yep. That was not great. As coming up, we'll hear from Tavon Campbell. We'll get to Game Warriors. And we want to hear from Michael Hughes, the kicker as well, from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. That's all to come. And again, we have to tell someone had a big day on Bold, like a huge day on Bold Predictions. We'll tell you who that is coming up as well on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to the Green Zone post-game show as we get to Game Warriors.
Warriors, come out to play.
from big plays, big catches, and big hits. Now, Game Warriors.
Let's tell you who the Game Warriors are in a 27-21 win for the BC Lions, which clinches second place in the West. They will host the Calgary Stampeders next week in the West semifinal. The Riders will play the winner of that game in the West final November the 8th, a Saturday at Mosaic. Daryl, we start with the BC Lions offensive game warrior.
Jamie, we didn't even see this guy's big play because the TSN pushed
TSN the, started the game.
Game 8 minutes earlier just for whatever reason. So before, after we had already got settled in and heard that Aiden Eberhart had caught his first pass of the game, on the very first play of the game for a 63-yard touchdown, he ended up catching four for 101 and two touchdowns. So Aiden Eberhart, offensive game warrior for the BC Lions.
And for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Oh, boy, this is a little tougher because the only guy who scored touchdowns was Jack Cohn on short yardage and got stopped once. But Keon Schaefer-Baker played a half. Six catches, 69 yards, some tough ones. And as Belton pointed out, drank some of the
BC Lions Gatorade.
I drank your milkshake. Right? I love that. So good for Keon Schaefer-Baker. We'll give him that for being that is a game warrior type maneuver.
Well, double it up. He was on pace to have a big night tonight. But, of course, Ajoa Joe finished up for him in the lineup in the receiving corps. So there's your offensive game warriors, a pair of receivers. Aiden Eberhart's two touchdowns and Keon Schaefer-Baker, a couple of big catches and hard catches and some Gatorade on the BC sideline. The offensive game warriors. As we slide to the defensive game warriors, Daryl?
Well, it's always hard to not include Matthew Betts as one of their game warriors, and we'll give it to him tonight for three tackles, a sack, and a fumble recovery.
Yeah, he was the one who jumped on the Jake Mayer mishandle on that short yardage. And then he, for some reason, thought he'd just go for 80 yards, jog to the end zone.
Teammates jogged all the way down. Right?
It's like, okay. Not sure.
It added
why.
Some time to the game. We could have used that.
Yeah.
The refs didn't blow the whistle there, did they?
Nope. Oh. Well, they didn't. Did they? Who knows what they did?
They probably waited a little bit longer to blow the whistle than they did for the Tavon Campbell thing. Three tackles, one sack, and a fumble recovery for Matthew Betts as we get to the Riders' defensive game warrior.
Well, you guys are so high on Jameer Thurman. Anybody can play middle linebacker, looks like, on this team. Nine defensive tackles for Aubrey Miller. I'm just kidding. Jameer Thurman is a great player, but Aubrey Miller stepped in, and they held James Butler down pretty hard, which is a good job. That usually comes back to the middle linebacker, and I know the Rough Riders have a great one in Jameer Thurman, but Aubrey Miller, too, for nine tackles. He's the defensive game warrior for the Rough Riders.
There are your offensive and defensive game warriors. We are going to head to the Riders' locker room, however. I want to hear from Tavon Campbell, the guy who scored that touchdown for the Riders.
How much impact do you think that play had on the game's final outcome?
Oh, huge. I think it changed because we got the ball backed up instead of, you know, going back out on the field as a defense, having those 7 points, or if we went for 2-8. But I think it changed the trajectory of the game, just removing those points, and you see what we lost by, 6 points. So, yeah, definitely altered the outcome.
It must be frustrating when the game's decided on something that's totally out of your hands.
Absolutely. I think that's the hardest part because you have no control and you have, like, you can't change it. Like, there's no amount of arguing with the refs or just yelling that'll change their mind. So it's frustrating, but I mean, it's football.
But just running through the emotions of you think you have a touchdown, then it gets taken off the board.
I mean, I've had that happen a couple times this year already, so I'm used to it. But it was a good play. Scored a touchdown. They called it back. It's not much I could do about it. So I'm still just proud of my team, proud of, you know, we were able to cause a fumble, force a fumble, pick it up, recover, score a touchdown. At the end of the day, that's what happened. We know that's what happened. So, yeah.
Tavon, what does this game, if anything, mean for you guys heading into this week off and then the West final?
I think it was a good statement on, you know, just the depth we have on the team and being able to, you know, put different people on the field in different positions and go out there and play at a high level with a team that is, you know, not fighting for a playoff spot, but, you know, fighting for a home playoff. And, yeah, I think it was a good showing of what we could do.
Absolutely it was. But last 2 weeks, A lot of backups being rotated in and almost beating teams who had a lot more to play for than the Saskatchewan Roughriders the last 2 weeks. And just as a little historic note, 2013, the Roughriders did lose their final two games after clinching the West Division earlier. They lost their final two games of the season before.
Oh, so they're just trying to follow precedent, are they?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good strategy, I guess.
Before the 2013 playoffs. If you're just worried about killing momentum, it was fine for the Saskatchewan Roughriders heading into the playoffs. But coming up next, we'll hear from kicker Michael Hughes, unsung heroes, and who kicked our butts on bold predictions, thanks to some bonus points on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show as the Riders fall 27-21 to the BC Lions, and now it's playoffs. The bracket will look like this starting Saturday. They've moved the games up, by the way, on Saturday. It'll be a noon kickoff for the East semifinal and a 3 p.m. kickoff for the West. So the CFL avoids the what would have been the conflict with the Blue Jays, potential game 7. If the series does go to a game 7, there won't be a conflect. If it goes to 7.
I think it's going to go 7? Yep. Yeah, well, they may as well not. Because there was a smaller crowd than announced tonight, obviously. Yep. And a lot of people were watching the Blue Jays. It's only, you don't get a World Series in Canada very often.
A lot of Blue Jays gear, including my hat, in the stadium today at Mosaic.
There was. Almost as much blue as green. And you guys called this the Blue Zone all week, too.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, trains blue and everything. Yeah. I saw the color. Whoa. Didn't even recognize it.
It's the bye week for the Riders. They're not even playing next week, so we're good.
Can be the Blue.
That's true, yeah.
Well-timed World Series for the bye week for the Riders to run in with the Blue Jays games 3, 4, and 5. Watch party on Monday. Belton, you're welcome to join us at the East location, Boston Pizza.
All right.
Daryl, you too.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Hang out with you and
everybody's
Locker?
Welcome.
Locker and Britton?
Yeah. I don't know if Britton's going to be there, but.
Okay. Britton deserves some time off, you guys. Give him a day off. Come on.
Time off?
Yeah.
He's the one who gets like Mondays and Tuesdays off when the Riders aren't practicing.
Mondays and Tuesdays? Who wants Mondays and Tuesdays off?
Let's get to Unsung Heroes.
They weren't the game warrior, but they definitely made an impact. Time to sing the praises of the game's unsung heroes.
Who are the unsung heroes, Daryl Davis? Well, we start with the winning team, BC Lions.
You can't laugh at this one, you guys, because he didn't even get a defensive tackle. He should have had one.
Almost.
But the way Nathan Rourke chased down Tavon Campbell on that fumble recovery should have been a fumble recovery for a touchdown. We gave A.J. Ouellette such great praise for the way he ran hard after a player in a similar situation. The way Nathan Rourke ran after, most quarterbacks just go,
Tavon Campbell is a world-class sprinter.
I know he is, And I know that Nathan Rourke's got a little bit of an angle on him, but he caught him basically right at the goal line and made an effort to try to get him out of play. And we even had to look at it, not that it mattered, because the review, the God Center would have changed it no matter what happened, But the fact that he chased him down, and I know offensively he was outstanding. He always is. But so you can laugh at a guy who throws 23 of 28 completions for 368 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception, and we're giving him the unsung hero because that's an inspirational play. We talk about those things. So good for him for showing it, and I think it's the type of thing that really helps a football team. So,
and for the Riders.
Well, the kicker.
Michael Hughes.
2 for 2 in the field goal department, and a single through the end zone from 90 yards and through the uprights, and 2 for 2 in converts. He's 100%, man. That's pretty impressive. It's 9 points as far as I count. So he got a few points for this football team, and I'd start him. I'd use him in the playoffs, but I know there's going to be a debate about it and some discussions about it, but I think that he's the unsung hero tonight, and I would start him in the playoffs because he's perfect.
Let's hear from Michael Hughes, the kicker, who was asked about did he ever try to kick a CFL football ever before?
I have never kicked a CFL ball, but, you know, it's just kicking. I've done it for 10 years. I'm not going to overthink it. You know, my job's to put it through the post, and that's what I did today.
So. You mentioned yesterday that you were before the game, you thought you'd probably take a 360 look at the field and soak it all in. Did it unfold that way? Did you
it
have
did.
A mental photograph?
It did. It did. I had that. I had that moment of gratitude, and that was something that I've really, I was really looking forward to. Hard for me not to get emotional, just because of the journey that I've been on over the last, 10 years. But yeah, super special moment.
All these years you've been kicking, you finally get a rouge. How much of a milestone is that?
It's good. I didn't know what a single was until I got up here. But I did tell Kent when I was running onto the field, I was like, I'm trying to get a single here.
Did you kick it through the upright on that?
I did. I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to, but that's how it worked out. So. It was good to get a rouge.
You kind of spoke about there were just how cool has this day just been for you?
Unbelievable. Everybody's been so gracious for me, taking me in with arms wide open. But today was super special for me. I mean, first professional game, and I couldn't have wrote it up any better other than, we could have went 1-0. So, tomorrow we'll come in, watch some film, maybe have the next few days off. I'm not sure. I'm sure we'll get an email later, but, enjoy it for the next 24 hours, but tomorrow we got to go back to work.
That is Michael Hughes after his first game. Didn't
even
mean
call it a rouge. Yeah, didn't mean to kick it through the uprights. I got a kick out of that. But he still got his first rouge through the uprights. That's a pretty memorable rouge.
Yes, it is for Michael Hughes. There's your unsung hero for the Rough Riders tonight. Let's go to bold. I'm not missing anything, am I? We've done everything, Chance.
You're not a rookie, Jamie.
Come on, Jamie. You've been here before. Act like it.
Bold predictions. Quarterback yardage. And we had bonus points up for grabs on this one.
I like bonus points.
Yeah, evidently.
Nathan Rourke, 368 yards. Belton was the closest at 323. Trevor Harris, 112 yards. I was the closest at 123. Just missed out. 1 yard away.
From another bonus.
From a bonus point. 154 for Jake Mayer. 121 said Belton Johnson as the high man. Jack Cohn did not throw a pass. He was out there, but didn't throw a pass. So zero. I was bang on. So I get 10 bonus points for being bang on. And Daryl was 5 away, so got 5 bonus points because he said 5 yards. Oh. Belton, you said 56. That was incorrect.
Good thing. Otherwise, he'd be in first place.
But let's get to the kicking game. Made kicks, 4. Belton said 4. Missed kicks, 0. Belton said 0. Short miss. Well, Belton has got the point there because he didn't miss. And the longest make, it's Daryl. 42 was the longest make. And you said 46 as the longest. And then yardage starting 5 for the Riders receiver. This is where Belton made some big moves. 18 yards for Picton. Belton was the closest. Kean Schaefer-Baker, 69 yards. Belton said 67.
Mm.
Woo! So as we scale down from 10, that's 8 bonus points, 1 point, and 8 bonus points. Tommy Neal, 96. That was close. I was 23 away, but Belton was 21 away, so Belton got the point. Del Duncan Busby, 33 yards. Belton said 31. Another point for being the closest, and another bundle of bonus points for being 2 away. I was also 7 away or 6 away, so I got some bonus points there too. And Sean Bain Jr., 8 yards, but Daryl, you were the lowest at 55, so you got the point. And then Daryl and I got BC, and I had the low score of 28-24 in a 26-21 win, or 27-21 win for the BC Lions. So when we tally it up, Belton Johnson finished the night with 25 points.
All right.
I had 18, and Daryl had 8. So the standings after the regular season now sit at Daryl 127, Jamie 126 and Belton 125. We are
That's crazy.
Awesome. Let's go into the playoffs. We might have two games left. Oh! One for sure, maybe two.
It's down to the wire on bold predictions. And of course, we will be here. Our next Green Zone game day, of course, is going to be the West Final. The Rough Riders will take on the winner of the Calgary Stampeders and the BC Lions. That kickoff will be 5:30. Will be the kickoff time, right? It is going to be 5:30. The time change, right? That is correct. Stupid thing that we don't even change our clocks. Not that it's stupid. We don't change. It's stupid. Everybody else changes and we have to do. Yeah. So that will be in the next week's semifinal. And then the week after that, we will be on the air 2 hours before kickoff of the West Final at Mosaic Stadium. The Riders will take on either BC or Calgary. Shout out to Britton Gray, all the great work he does. Shout out to Chance, all the great work he does. The technical production up at CKOM in Saskatoon. I apologize. I can't see you to know who is behind the glass up in Saskatoon. But shout out to them. Belton Johnson, Daryl Davis, thank you so much for another great regular season. I'll see you in the West Final. Well, I'll see you on Monday. I'll see you maybe Monday and Wednesday on the Green Zone this week. And, of course, shout out to you, the fans. Thanks for your patience tonight and tuning in after the Blue Jays game. Of course, games 3, 4, and 5 of the World Series will be right here once again on Monday with our Green Zone watch party at the Vic East location for Boston Pizza. That's when Locker and I will be on the air on Monday. Have a great rest of your weekend. Get ready for the playoffs. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.